it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 2 o'clock, and you know what that means.
Hey, man!
It's time for Dukes and Bell, the best sports talk duo breaking down the hottest topics in the ATL.
Wait a minute.
That's huge, big.
We like our sports like we like our brew. Fresh and crisp to the last out.
Yeah.
Carl Dukes.
You're not listening.
And Mike Bell.
Give me a freaking break.
Are about to take over the airwaves.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Carl Dukes and Mike Bell.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We have more kickers in the building. If you are not familiar, get familiar. Because Parker Romo, guy that was in camp with the Patriots, is a guy that the Falcons have signed today to their practice squad. Now, Mike, this does not mean that he is going to be a guy that we see Sunday night against the Vikings, which we'll talk about because we got a chance to see the Vikings last night. But they are bringing in competition.
Cool, I'm watching you.
It may be a day late and a dollar short, but Mike Bell, I said to our audience via social media, bring in all these guys. I don't care who it is. Let's have a real kicking competition and try to get ahead of this thing because, Mike, I feel like we're behind it already.
Yeah, he went to McIntosh down in Peachtree City, by the way. I just looked up his Wikipedia page, and he has one. But, yeah, John Parker Romo, don't know jack about him, but he's bounced around in a number of camps. Saints, you mentioned it. The Brahmas, what is that? What league is that? The UF, whatever. Well, one of those spring leagues.
Yeah.
Lions, USFL, Bears, Vikings. Yeah, you mentioned Page. But, again, yeah, he was first team, all XFL. Hey, man. Well, that means he did his job in that league. So, hey, man. Anything's better than what we've been looking at the last 6 months with Younghoe Koo. So let's get it together.
Well, again, they're not going to say this means that Koo has lost his job.
No, of course not.
We're not saying that yet. Well, all we're saying is this is competition, and they signed him to the practice squad, and we'll see where it goes. He was 11 of 12 on field goals last season in Minnesota, if you're wondering. And then today we also heard, as we get the show started, we got a busy, busy show for you guys, but we also heard that the 49ers – wave Jake Moody. And the crazy thing is, he struggled in their first game. 49ers didn't even clown around. Gone. Move on. He's been released. And so I said to our audience, look, bring him in too. I don't care.
My God, that was a Luke Groza Award winner, Carl. Exactly. In college is the best college kicker.
Well, he was at one
in 21.
He really was. But yeah. I don't care. Change of scenery sometimes matters. Guys need a new environment. You don't know what it is.
And we said yesterday, I'm sorry to cut you off, Matt Bryant had a real struggle. He had some, lost a child. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in his world. But he was cut by the Bucs, and he was one of the best kickers right behind Morton Anderson in our franchise's history.
Yeah, you just don't know what's going on with a particular player. And look, Koo said to us, or to Atlanta yesterday in his press conference, thanks for holding one, Koo, that turf had something to do with, his adjustments. And again, I wouldn't have even thought about that being a reason as to why he may be struggling or why this is in his head. But the point is, you don't know what's going on with these kickers. We got to figure that out. And we got to do it before Sunday night, because that gets us to what you saw last night in the Monday night football game. For the first three quarters, J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings looked like hot garbage. They were a team that was hard to watch. In the fourth quarter, he turned it on, Mike. They ultimately win the game. And I feel like J.J. McCarthy went into this game. He felt nervous. You saw it. He would not pull. He was not right. Letting the ball go. He threw an ugly pick six. I mean, it looked like high school stuff, the way he threw that ball out there on an out route. And the receiver was like, you going to throw that? And so then he turns things around in the fourth quarter. I just feel like going into this Minnesota game, my concern is not with the offense. It is Brian Flores, their defensive coordinator, and how he adjusts. And throughout the game, he did this. And Mike, Caleb Williams looked like he was on point, right? And then all of a sudden, he's struggling, and he was not letting the ball go.
Well, that's it. You know that Brian Flores is going to have exotic blitz looks. He's going to have certainly some stuff that will be very difficult to replicate or anticipate. And we'll see how Michael Penix Jr. handles it. Caleb Williams, to me, still doesn't pass the eye test. I said last thing I said at the end of the show yesterday, hoping that we'd just see some positivity. And for a couple of quarters, he looked okay. But then there's times where he misses wide-open throws. He holds on to it too long. So that continues to be a work in progress with all the pressure of obviously Chicago on his shoulders in the city, the big shoulders. But J.J. McCarthy, yeah, you said it, real pedestrian until they started cranking things up. And I don't like the fact that J.J. McCarthy, if you saw him getting the game ball and the vibe in the locker room, they take a lot of confidence off of that road win against Chicago back home for the home opener against us. So hopefully, and we'll talk about our thinness in the wide receiver room potentially. No word because they don't have to yet. Wednesday will be the first day we'll know just what's going on, Carl, with Drake London.
404-726-0929. The one thing J.J. McCarthy has going for him, and this goes into our game as well, he's got a really good team. It's a team that won 14 games last year with Sam Darnold, and everybody laughed when Sam took over, and we were like, how good is he going to be? The reason is Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell is a really good coach, and more importantly, he's a really good quarterback's coach. Ask Kirk Cousins. He helped Kirk Cousins do the things he did in Minnesota, and you saw him make those adjustments last night and give J.J. the confidence. Either way, 13 for 20, 143 yards, that is not eye-popping. But winning the game is what he did. And so, Mike, coming into our game, you go, man, and I said last night, man, I'd love to get a pick six. I'd love to see our secondary take advantage like the Chicago Bears did. Bears kind of fell asleep at the wheel and allowed them to get back into this game. But Justin Jefferson, how do you feel about that matchup going into Sunday night?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, just four receptions. He did get a touchdown. He did get in the end zone. But seven targets, and he got four. I mean, I could see, unfortunately, memories of last year. Now, that was a completely different situation.
Ugly.
Jimmy Lake, and again, we don't know how we tried to get the answer. We still don't know. But we got the impression that Rob was a little more involved in that defense. That's where guys were completely out of position. We had guys basically 20 yards, you know, away from guys like Jefferson and Addison in that game. He's not going to be available for this one. It's a concern. And we've got to ramp up the pass rush. We did not get home. Guys, I don't want to hear about moral victories. I don't want to hear about, oh, that guy looked... We didn't get there. Leonard Floyd doesn't even show up on the stat sheet. That's one of the guys I know I could bank on to start this season. I know it's week one, but Leonard Floyd was ineffective, to be honest with you guys. Pierce Jr., after all our squawking about him, had no effect on the quarterback. They've got to get home, got to get there. So you got to rattle J.J. McCarthy, and hopefully Holbrook will try to do some of the things that we saw the Bears trying to do to him last night.
Yeah, the Bears did a good job. Yeah, God, please, right. Can we get a few of those? T.J. Hockenson, 15 yards. Aaron Jones only rushed for 23, even though Mason, their other running back, had 68 yards. The thing was, Mike, they ran the ball better in the second half. The reason why I bring this up is our offensive coordinator. When we talk about calming your quarterback and calming down the offense, you can't go away from the run. They were struggling in the first half. Mike, they came back out in the second. Kevin O'Connell's like, we're going to run it. And they ended up with over 120 yards rushing. They outrushed the Bears, I think, by a few yards. But it also helped J.J. McCarthy. And my point is, guys, they're looking at us and going, we can run the ball too. They're going to try to run the ball just like they did last night. And they had some success. Individually, not so much. As a team, remember, I think McCarthy rushed for like 25 or 30 yards the scramble. He scored that third touchdown on a scramble. We've got to find a way to contain that. This is going to be an interesting game. First home game for the Vikings on Sunday night. Crowd's going to be insane because it is a great place to play up there. But, Mike, you said it. I don't think they made J.J. McCarthy uncomfortable. I think he was uncomfortable just in the moment until he settled down.
He talked about, you know, he's a Chicago kid. He literally grew up in the burbs. He grew up a Bears. His first football game was at Soldier Field with his dad. So he's lamped up. Yeah, you saw the emotions. And Justin Jefferson, after the game, post-game, was like, they're talking about him. He said, no, man, it's about number nine. And they're referring to their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. So winning over hearts and minds. Remember, guys, he was dazzling in preseason last year. He played in the preseason, had a bunch of touchdowns, and he got injured. So now he's just trying to catch up and get back in the swing of things. At home, he'll certainly be a little more comfortable. How uncomfortable, to our point, can we make him with our defense, which did not really do that with Baker Mayfield enough? And then, look, J.J. can move, as we saw last night.
Yeah. Mike, he may be even more elusive than we give him credit for. I mean, like, again, none of these guys are Lamar, okay? But you don't have to be to get positive yards, move the chains, and more likely, in a red zone situation, potentially score a touchdown. Work's going to be cut out for us, not because I don't think we can beat these guys, but how healthy are we? And if we are not able to push the ball down the field, hopefully with Drake being out there and Darnell Mooney, and again, we don't know yet. Mike mentioned the injury update will come as the week moves on. it's a concern for me because we are not going to be the same team. Now, you can go up there, Mike, and if we run for 175 yards, yeah. then that's a different issue,
well,
right?
I mean, and the right position on the field to do some of the things we want to see them do. Where, come on, guys, get Bijan. If they do jam us up, then get Bijan the ball in space. You know, we saw the first play. It's funny. You saw something work the first play of the game, whether it was a check down or by design. We'll ask Dave Archer about it at 3:20. Why do you never go back to it? I know there were versions of it, and they tried to get the wide receiver screen going, and that got blown up because guys didn't block. But, I mean, there's some simplicity and some things that work with elite playmakers, Carl, winning one-on-ones. And that's what our guy Bijan can do. So let's set him up for success.
Yeah. Hopefully that is part of the game plan as we continue to move forward. But week two, and we told you guys, like, weeks 1 through 5, right? We get the Commanders at the end of this month coming here. Carolina on the road. I know they didn't necessarily look great. But again, these division games are hard to look at and say, oh, that's a dub, unless it's the Saints. And so I just feel like, Mike, this is not a must-win yet. But starting 0-2 is a tough hole to start climbing out of.
There's a lot of teams looking in the mirror. I mean, the Lions turned over their coaching staff. You know, the Lions, that's a big loss for them in that division. You know, for the Bears, they're trying to, you know, hey, say, Caleb Williams is elite. Caleb Williams is still a work in progress. I believe in him, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
What do you think is wrong? Because when he started out the game, and by the way, we talk about this, right? It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Most of these coordinators, in fact, all of them, script the first series or two.
And it generally looks pretty good.
Okay. And what that means is, this is what we're running. We know they like to do this. This is how we're going to operate. And you come out, and the hope is you get some success, and then you can open up the playbook a little bit more. The scripted plays early on looked really good. Then when he went off script, Mike, and ran the touchdown early, you know, their first touchdown, you went, okay, that looks like USC, Oklahoma, Caleb Williams. Second half, he's patting the ball. He's running around. He looked like the guy that got sacked 68 times last year and was unsure of where to go with the football.
Right. They had the one play, I think, where I want to say it was Swift or somebody. He got out of the pass rush and he...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit his running back. He got a nice big first down. He's kind of wide open on the other side of the field. And that's cool. And that shows a little bit of, you know, a little bit of patience and still letting things come to you. But I want to root for this guy because I think
I'm with you on this.
I don't like with the direction some of the noise went against this kid. So until I see otherwise, I'm going to be in his corner. I mean, it's like, is a prima donna, all the stuff that got written about him. I don't buy all that. But look, you got to produce. It's year two. They went and got the best offensive mind that was available. You got to look better than it did at times last night.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.